Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. Today, it's my honor to have as our guest Lisa Hallett, president and co-founder of Wear Blue, Run to Remember, and Dave Leach, chief operating officer. Lisa and Dave, welcome to the podcast. Lisa, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad to be here this morning. My name is Lisa, and I'm a proud Army wife. I'm mother to three children, and I'm also an endurance athlete. And I'm, of course, the executive director of Wear Blue, Run to Remember.
It's just great to have you on, Lisa. And Dave, what about you?
Hey, Patty, thanks so much for having us. I'm a lifelong soldier. I enlisted in the Army right after high school. I grew up in Southwest Virginia, enlisted from there. Lucky enough to receive an Army ROTC scholarship while I was in my first duty assignment with the 82nd Airborne Division. Was commissioned as an aviator, and I spent my career serving both in aviation assignments and some interesting broadening assignments, which took me all over the world. So lucky to be married to my very best friend for the last 25 years. We met on my first assignment in Germany 25 years ago. And we have three wonderful kids, all college age and out doing wonderful things by themselves now. So very excited to be here, part of the program.
Thank you so much, Dave. It resonates with me, both of you, how you've introduced yourselves, because I think the Army is a very close-knit community, and I'm very honored to know both of you. Lisa, let's get started with you a little bit. You have a very poignant story behind the creation of Wear Blue, Run to Remember. I've heard it before, but I'm not sure that our audience has. Would you please share it with us?
Oh, thank you for asking. I think the military, our journeys all bring us to such unique and beautiful stories, and not without hardship, every one of us. And my husband, Captain John Hallett, deployed with 5th Stryker Brigade to southern Afghanistan in July of 2009. And at the time, John was in company command, and I was at home with our two sons, Jackson and Bryce, who were 3 years and 1 year old. And 3 weeks after John left, our daughter Heidi was born, which I'm sure many of our Army families can identify with that. But 3 weeks after Heidi was born, I was notified that John had been killed, which I pray that no Army family ever has to identify with. John was killed on August 25th, 2009, with three other soldiers on their way home from a goodwill mission. They had just delivered medicine to a village with a cholera outbreak. For our unit, it would become a deployment that claimed 41 lives and eventually 12 more to the mental wounds that would never heal. Like everyone in our unit, I was devastated. And I turned to the coping mechanism that I had leaned on throughout John's military career, running. It was this tangible accomplishment in a world that felt wildly out of control. And in the middle of my personal grief and many, many miles of running, I worked with Aaron O'Connor, a fellow military spouse, and together we formed Wear Blue, Run to Remember. As the deployment dragged on in those early days, fellow military spouses began to join in our weekly runs. And honestly, we didn't gather because we loved running. Actually, far from it. Many of us were not runners at that point. But we kept coming together because we needed a space to grieve and really to belong. We needed a space where we could simply be ourselves and that we didn't need to explain what we were experiencing, and we just knew. So the first time we met, we wore our spouse's blue physical training shirt, and we gathered in the Burger King parking lot on post at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, awkwardly looked at each other, and then went for a run around the airfield. We continued to meet each week, though, and we evolved. And over time, we became friends, and even more, we became a community. And almost a year later, after continuing those weekly runs throughout the deployment, the unit came home from combat. And we realized that they, too, needed the space to heal, grieve, and connect with one another. Honestly, we had lost life, limb, and mind that year. And we truly needed the power that is born of community to reconnect and rebuild. And Wear Blue became that community, and running was our common ground. Wear Blue, Run to Remember is now an inclusive national community that honors the service and sacrifice of the American military. All of our programs, all of our steps focus on empowering our families of the fallen, supporting men and women still in uniform, and honoring and remembering our service members who've made the ultimate sacrifice. And now, every week, thousands of runners around the world run in blue. Honestly, from the shores of Iwakuni, Japan, to the streets of Texas, to our very first Burger King parking lot, we have 54 running communities, 6 official programs, 15 national races, and over 50,000 runners. Over the past decade, we've honored over 12,000 of our nation's fallen military heroes and impacted over 1.5 million athletes as they've run through our tribute display.
So that's just a story that amazes me and really hits me in the heart. I remember the first time we met, I attended a Wear Blue Circle of Remembrance ceremony. And at that point, I knew that I wanted to support you all as best as I could. I'm sure that Dave had something similar. So Dave, how did you get involved with Blue?
Yeah, Patty, thanks so much. In 2012, my unit, we were finishing up a year-long deployment in Afghanistan, and everybody's been deployed is familiar with the Stars and Stripes or military newspaper. And one morning, the headline on the newspaper read, Afghanistan, the Forgotten War. And I'll tell you, you know, having been there almost a full year, that headline just really kind of cut me right inside, because during the entire deployment, almost nightly, we would go over to the airfield and conduct what they called ramp ceremonies. And Patty, let me just paint this picture for you. The ramp ceremony is where the units would bring their fallen service members to the airfield and put them on aircraft for their final flight home. And this typically happened in the middle of the night because of the flight scheduling for the aircraft back to the States. And the unit itself was accompanied by hundreds and hundreds of other service members from all across the base. And we would stand there in the dark, wait for the unit to arrive, and the unit leadership would escort their fallen service member on board the aircraft. The chaplain would speak, the bagpipes would play, and then they would close the door of the aircraft, and we would quietly go back to a workplace or where we were sleeping and go about our business. So that happened almost nightly during our year-long tour to Kandahar, Afghanistan. And so to read that it was possibly forgotten by the world was very troubling, because as I stood there in those ceremonies, all I could think about is the fallen young man or woman. They would always read their name and their age, and they were typically very young. My thoughts always turned to their family, who had by then had gotten the word that their loved one had passed away, and they were anxiously awaiting their return from theater. I thought of them and the fallen. So when I get back to Fort Bragg, where we launched from, a friend of mine that had served at JBLM with Lisa and the team said, hey, I think you'd be interested in this group. They're very active. It's a running organization, but it's more than just running. They're committed to honoring the fallen service members. They're committed to honoring those men and women still serving and their families. I think you'd really like it. So my family and I went out to the inaugural Fort Bragg running Saturday run one Saturday morning in November of 2012. And we started participating during the Saturday runs. We would go out and run along the trail there at Bragg. And we met some incredible people, and I really did enjoy the mission. So fast forward a couple months, and later in May, the chapter president at Bragg, she's leaving, and she says, hey, we need some help running Memorial Day. Can you assist? I said, absolutely. I'd love to assist. And I tell her that I will help run the Memorial Day event at Fort Bragg. The next day, I got an email from Lisa saying, hey, thank you so much for stepping up to lead the Fort Bragg chapter of Wear Blue. We look forward to working with you. So I had been recruited into the position, and I haven't stopped that. So I served at Bragg there as the chapter co-president with some other amazing folks. I then helped with the For the Fighting program, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. And then this past year, in February of 19, I volunteered to help with operations portion of Wear Blue.
Dave, that's such a great story. And, you know, Lisa is a very smart cookie. She saw leadership and said, I'm grabbing it. So that's awesome. And it does also remind me that Wear Blue, Run to Remember is really a community more than anything else. It's a community that has grown so much over the years. Lisa, like you mentioned earlier, what has surprised you the most about the growth of the organization?
Oh, gosh. You know, every day is a surprise. Raising children is much like growing a nonprofit. It keeps you on your toes. One of the biggest things that has surprised me is this continued need to belong. And what I needed so urgently in those first days after Chan died, somewhere to fit in, continues to exist almost 11 years later. for me, for other survivors, for our entire military community. And honestly, before I think of myself as a Gold Star spouse, I think of myself as an Army wife. And I need to continue to stand side by side with our military, veterans and their families, and know that I still belong in that family. And likewise, I think that our military, veterans, and their families desire the opportunity to stand with our surviving families and not only show their continued support, but witness that we are healthy, happy, and moving forward. And it is okay for them to do the same. And I think that one step further, what's been a beautiful realization of this journey is that the community as well needs the space to belong with our military families. Our civilian population can come to the Wear Blue table and show their gratitude, their honor, and support. And I think that the inclusiveness of Wear Blue resonates with everyone. I think that quite often people are surprised from the outside. I'm not surprised by this, but from the outside, is that Wear Blue is volunteer-led. We are predominantly a volunteer organization, and people are rightfully blown away by the commitment of our leaders to make this mission happen. And everyday leaders like Dave show up and put in the work to realize this mission. And so it can be surprising, but it's an incredible blessing to work with a caliber of professionals to realize the ability to honor the service and sacrifice of the American military through Wear Blue Run True Member.
You've said so many things that do speak truth of one, the idea of, you know, once an Army spouse, always an Army spouse. I know I feel that way, even though Mike has been retired for 10 years, which is a long time. But that sense of community that's so inclusive, not only of our survivors, our service members, their families, but also the civilian population that does always strive to find a way to support and be connected. And the fact that they can see through your program that, you know, you can suffer a loss such as the one that you have and still continue to live. And I would even say thrive because of what this sense of community and remembrance does for you. And Dave, I think one of the ways that you and I met was through a program called For the Fighting, which is a program that AUSA has been honored to support for, I think it's the last past 3 years. It's a great program. We're so proud to be a part of it. Can you tell us what kind of impact you've seen since launching this program and what it is?
So, Patty, thanks so much to you and the AUSA team for being such great supporters of our program. We simply could not do it without you. And it really is a perfect partnership given both the mission of AUSA and Wear Blue. So just over 3 years ago, Lisa asked if we were doing enough for our For the Fighting pillar, for the men and women that are still serving in our military. And we decided to create the For the Fighting Race program. And this program is designed to provide support in an active way to our younger service members just back from deployment to deal with the challenges of those deployments, but also the challenges of a life of service. We wanted to showcase that there are healthy outlets to deal with these challenges while showing again these younger service members that their service was not taken for granted and truly was appreciated in a tangible, physical way. We're not giving you something. We're going to ask you to do something, and we're going to show you this community that you can be part of. So our first year was in D.C. at the Army 10 Miler. We just thought it was a perfect fit, the Army 10 Miler, and we were going to pilot it with Army soldiers. And this gave us the opportunity, Patty, to meet you and the team and link up with AUSA. The participants, we provide transportation to D.C., lodging while they're there. We wanted them to see Arlington National Cemetery and the changing of the guard at the tomb. We did a professional development seminar in conjunction with Travis Mannion Foundation during the weekend. And of course, the highlight was the opportunity to meet the Sergeant Major of the Army. The current Sergeant Major of the Army at the time was Sergeant Major Daley, and then previous Sergeants Major of the Army. And it was at the pre-race pasta dinner, and then, of course, run the 10-mile race the next morning. Since then, we've expanded the program. We support Marines and sailors at the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in San Diego. And this year, we had plans to do the Army 10-miler, the Half Marathon in San Diego, and then also support airmen at the Air Force Marathon in Dayton, Ohio. Unfortunately, as you know, those races have been either canceled, postponed, or transitioned to virtual events. But I just, you know, it's an incredible program, and it's not just a fun trip to a race. It's a concerted effort to show our younger service members just our goal is to get them just back from deployment and show them that there's programs and people out there that are committed to help them. You know, not many folks would be overly excited if we called you up and said, hey, how'd you like to go to San Diego and run 13.1 miles? Or how'd you like to go to DC and run 10 miles with us? So we ask them, you know, to make a commitment to do that. And it's been incredibly positive, the experience. In touch with most, if not all, of the participants over the past couple of years. And to a person, they've really appreciated the opportunity to be part of the Wear Blue community.
That's awesome. And it's such a great program. And we at AUSA are also very proud to be a part of it. And thank you for allowing us to do so. Our support started way back in 2013 with Wear Blue. Lisa, you might remember we co-hosted the Wear Blue tent at the Arden 10 Miler, the first time that we had ever done anything like that. And I think it was your first time being part of the HUA tent community. It's been a great collaboration, and we've been honored to receive the inaugural Wear Blue Not-for-Profit Award last year. That was an awful lot of fun, and we were really just honored to get that first award. So thank you. But speaking of the Army 10 Miler, you know, it's going to be a virtual race this year, and that's going to impact everyone, but especially the Wear Blue community. How do you think you guys are going to be able to handle that, and especially your involvement in the virtual race?
You know, again, just super excited to recognize AUSA and your team's commitment to the organization and our mission at last year's gala. It was such fun having you there, and it was just a natural choice. You guys are just superstars in your support. To your point, there's no question that the lack of being together physically to participate in races, especially the Army 10 Mile, will have an impact. You know, one of the things when we talked about creating the For the Fighting Race program, the Army 10 Miler was such a great and easy fit because it is like a big reunion. You cannot go to the Army 10 Miler, you can't go to the AUSA week without seeing and just being invigorated by running into and seeing folks from previous organizations and assignments. I mean, that's part of the race experience, seeing them on the course, seeing them before at the pasta dinner. So there's no question it's going to be different. But just like many other organizations, you know, we've transitioned to the virtual environment out of necessity. We simply have to, because, you know, as Lisa said, our mission hasn't stopped just because we can't physically get together. So we're staying tied in with our community through deliberate social media engagement, increased communications, and targeted programs such as our virtual Stay Healthy, Stay Motivated summer campaign. In this campaign, we're highlighting stories of service, you know, service members with inspirational stories of themselves and folks that have inspired and influenced them in their journey in the military. It's a chance for our community to live motivated by the courage and determination and selfless service of our soldiers. So it's great for those still serving, and it also allows, you know, folks that aren't serving to see this incredible population. So our campaign is going to lead us into an 11-mile or an 11K run on September 11th as we honor the service of all who have fought in our nation's longest war. And we really, Patty, we want to invite you and the listeners and certainly the AUSA audience to join us over the summer and sharing stories of service and running or walking on September 11th in honor of all who have served.
Dave, you know, we would be honored to do that. Is there a way that you can either get involved formally with the 9/11 run? Is there something on the website that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's on the Wear Blue website, the Stay Healthy, Stay Motivated summer campaign. And that's right on our site at www.wearbluerunToRemember.org.
Terrific. And we'll make sure that that link is on our page as well so that people can find it when they listen to this great podcast. You know, as a non-runner, I think everyone in the world knows that Patty Barron does not run, but I walk, and I've even tried yoga because my friend Lisa Hellett encouraged me to do so. With so many races being run virtually right now, how do you prepare to run a virtual race in this COVID-19 environment?
Patty Barron, you are an athlete. There's so many different ways to move right now. So I love following your yoga and your walking journey because you're making it happen. But to your point, it's not easy to stay consistent with our training in this COVID-19 environment. There are so many new and unique demands on us. So more than ever, it's important for us to stick with our training goals. And as we know, the research tells us running, walking, exercising consistently will give us a longer life, better sleep, improved focus, increased immunity, and so on. All things that we urgently need right now. The question goes back to, how do we do it? And the first step is to have a plan. A goal without a plan is just a wish. So after committing to run that virtual race, such as the Army 10 miler, the week of October 11th, it's important to find a training plan and calendar workouts just like we would a work meeting. And there's so many training plans out there. Wear Blue has them on our website under our races page. You can Google the distance that you want to work toward, but they are free and they are out there. Make a plan, schedule it. But with that, we have to let go of the guilt that comes with exercise. I know it's hard to prioritize when we have so many demands on our schedules right now. The bottom line is we're better professionals, parents, friends when we are healthy and happy. And fitness will lead to improved productivity and relationships. So after we make our plan, we need accountability. And so whether it's a friend or your local Wear Blue virtual community right now, it's important that we share our goals, share our struggles, and lean into the challenge. We have to let our friends, our accountability community, encourage us, but also keep us from falling short on the days that we struggle. It's important that we keep our motivation at the forefront. As an athlete, I wake up every morning and run, not because I have to, but because I want to. And it's not to be faster, but to be stronger. My motivation is to prove to myself what I'm capable of. And so I wake up and I think about John, his life, and his death. And I know that I honor his sacrifice and how I live my life. And for me, that means challenging myself to do and be my best every day as a mother, as a professional, and as an athlete. And finally, I think in the middle of all of this, we have to remember grace. If that virtual race becomes so great a challenge that it is breaking us rather than building us, we have to give ourselves the grace to reset our goals so that we can stay healthy and active in a positive and attainable way. We're not consistent, if it's not sustainable, there's no point in what we started. So with our plan, accountability, and motivation at the forefront, we can stay consistent and make that finish line possible.
Lisa, that's awesome. And I love a goal without a plan is just a wish. I am going to tell you that I have many wishes out there that I need to wrangle and really get on with it. So thank you for that. I really do appreciate those words. I would also say that one of the most meaningful events that Blue conducts during marathons is the Blue Mile. What can you share with us about the origins of the Blue Mile and the impact that it's had on your volunteers and runners alike?
Thank you for asking about that. I think the Wear Blue Mile is so precious to all of our staff and really anyone who's had the opportunity to interact with it. I remember shortly after John was killed in Afghanistan, I was reading an article in our local paper, and it had identified that John was casualty number 5,000. And it was this number that made me so mad. How could my best friend, this redheaded water polo player who loved his kids so very much, be reduced to a number? And this lingering sentiment, this realization that quite often the beauty, the strength, the courage of our American service members is reduced to the metonymy of boots on the ground, pressed us into the creation of the Wear Blue Mile. And the Wear Blue Mile is a tribute experience. It is a living memorial that is traditionally placed about halfway through an endurance course. And it is a selection of tribute posters featuring the images, ranks, names, dates of death, and ages of men and women who passed away while serving our country. And each of these images have been personally provided by the friends or family members of those heroes. And then they are placed in chronological order by date of sacrifice. So then on race day, as thousands of runners move through the tribute Wear Blue Mile, you can only hear the tattoo of their steps. And on their faces, you can see that they are visibly moved by the stories and memories of these heroes. What's important is that following these tribute posters are full-size American flags held by the friends, families, and local community members. And for our athletes, it's a chance for them to move from this purposeful pause of remembrance into a fierce celebration of life, country, and are charged to live in the aftermath of such sacrifices. And at the end of the day, the tribute mile is a place that humanizes not only the loss of war, heroes like John, but also humanizes the men and women who are willing to make such sacrifices. And over the past decade, over 1.5 million people have been impacted, moved, and inspired by the Wear Blue Mile.
It's so impactful. I've seen photos of the Wear Blue Mile on your website and in other places. And it just truly is an amazing mile to run. And I would imagine it motivates the runner to continue. But I've also seen how important it is to the volunteers. And I promise you that as soon as I retire from AUSA and I don't have the annual meeting on the very next day, I will get involved with supporting you all with holding a flag and being a proud volunteer. But this year, the Marine Corps Marathon is going to be virtual. And that's one of the places where I would imagine the Wear Blue Mile is so important to the runners. How do you plan to replicate the Blue Mile in some way?
Absolutely. And don't worry, Patty, one day you will get an email in your inbox that says, welcome to the Wear Blue team. But it's not unexpected that the Marine Corps Marathon has transitioned to a virtual experience. At the forefront of every planning committee's mind is the health and safety of our participants, from the athletes on the course and the volunteers who make that experience a reality. And we have been working with our partners at the Marine Corps Marathon and some storytellers on creating some very intentional and meaningful replications of the Wear Blue Mile. So be on the lookout for what's coming very soon.
That's awesome. I know you guys are going to come up with something just amazing. I can't wait for the announcement. Lisa and Dave, you've been really awesome guests. I just knew you would be. As we conclude our podcast today, do you have any final remarks for our listeners?
Physical health is critical to mental health, especially during times of uncertainty and change. And right now, Wear Blue is navigating an uncertain world through a healthy and active lifestyle, the support of a community, and a powerful motivation. And it is important to us that the AUSA family remains a part of our family as we take purposeful steps to honor the service and sacrifice of the American military. So before we part, I want to very, very intentionally invite my fellow AUSA members to join us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and to explore our website, wearbluerunsremember.org. Our summer Stay Healthy, Stay Motivated campaign is a wonderful, no-cost way to get connected to our community, be motivated by service stories, and to stay healthy and active. And we hope that on the way, you will also share your stories of service with us, that we can continue to motivate others through your example. And as you register, our participants can even snag some great complimentary Wear Blue swag. As we feel so physically distanced during this time, partnerships matter more than ever. And Patty, I just want to thank you and the entire AUSA team for helping us come together stronger at a time we feel so apart.
It's absolutely our honor, Lisa. It really is. Thank you both so much for being such great guests.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hua.